Father, we thank you. We thank you for this message, Lord, that, Lord, I will attempt to share at this moment, Lord. You've given it to me, and I pray that I can articulate it the way you would have me to, Lord. Now we pray for each and every one listening, Lord, that you'll open our ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're concluding our sermon series on praying for justice. We've been coming from Psalm 94 for a number of weeks, and now in this concluding section, we're going to wrap it up. And the topic today from Psalm 94, starting at the 16th verse, is who's got my back? Again, the topic is who's got my back? Allow me to read the verses starting at the 16th verse. And it reads, who will rise up for me against evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Amen. As we look at this sermon series, Praying for Justice, we have to go back to the beginning verses that really set the tone, which is the cry for righteousness by the redeemed of the Lord. That third verse sums up this chapter and this plea by saying, Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? You know, as we look at this topic, who's got my back? I often think about times in my youth when we would resort to fisting cuffs to settle things. And quite often when we went into a situation, we wanted to know who's got my back. Have you got my back? Before we made certain decisions, we wanted to make sure that somebody had our back. We wanted to make sure that there was somebody who could defend us, somebody who was on our side to support us. We wanted to know, are you with me? Now, in life, we are often disappointed because people who say they have our back, who pretend like they have our back, somehow disappear when we really need them to speak up for us and defend us. So as we look at this message, as we look at this passage, that's the feeling that the writer has, that Lord, who is supporting me against evil? But I want to share with you today that consolation comes from the Lord. Now, in this psalm, the writer is dealing with the appearance of triumph of the wicked over the unjust treatment of the helpless. And I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. Where he says, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, and look, the tears of the oppressed. But they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors, there is power, but they have no comforter. That's how it seems sometimes. It seems like those who are oppressing us, those who are doing us wrong, it seems like they have all of the power. Now, as we look at the 16th verse of Psalm 94, Again, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? In other words, the author is saying is, who's got my back? Who will stand on my behalf in my case against the sinners? And iniquity is a sin on any transgression against God's law. Sometimes it seems like we are at the mercy of evildoers without a champion or someone having our back. When we feel like this, we need to keep on reading, because verse 17 tells us where our help really comes from. Look at verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. Unless the Lord. Yes, it might seem at times like nobody has our back. But if we use our memory, go back over our life, we will see that there have been other times of adversity against us. And we realize it was only the Lord on our side that helped us get through that trouble, that helped us get through that trial, that helped us get through that tribulation. And this is what the author is saying, looking back, saying, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. Again, we go back to the blessed person in this very same chapter in verse 12, where it says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. You know, we are preserved and protected through our relationship with God. Unless the Lord had been my help. Think about that for a moment. How many times can you say that in your life? Unless the Lord had been my help. You know, I'm old enough now that I spend a lot of time reflecting. And I'm reflecting on friends of mine who may have been smarter than me, who may have had more advantages than me, but for some reason they succumbed to society and did not reach the heights that they should have. They did not do what, did not live up to their full potential. And as I ponder things like that, I think about, unless the Lord had been my help, you know, my soul would soon have settled in silence. My soul would have been silenced. Think about that. Unless the Lord had been my help. Let's look at verse 18. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. If my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, holds me up. You know, it's interesting when we look at slippage and footing. I spend time walking on trails in nature, and one of my goals is not to slip. And it depends on what type of surface I'm walking on, whether or not it will be a smooth walk where I can multitask and do two things at once, or sometimes I have to pay full attention to where I'm stepping because it's rocky, because it's uneven. That's how life is, my brothers and sisters. We will have times where we will be walking on smooth paths, but then we'll have times where we'll have to devote all of our attention to our walk because there are obstacles in our way. Now, again, looking at this, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. It's a funny balancing act when you see somebody about to fall and they're trying their very best not to fall. And then when they don't fall, they look around to see if anybody's looking. Isn't that interesting? My foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. And this reminds me of something David said back in Psalm 73, verse 2. He said, but as for me, My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And what he's saying is that I slipped in my faith when I saw the evil workers doing good. I wondered, Lord, where are you right now? You know, spiritually, our feet can slip. Spiritually, we can slip. Spiritually, we have those times of doubt. Where are you, Lord? When I felt defeated by despair, the author is saying, God held me up. When I lost my balance, Lord, you held me up. When my back was against the wall, Lord, you held me up. Am I the only one who has that testimony? I don't think so. If my foot slips, if I forget who has my back, Lord, your mercy will hold me up. In verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Think about all the things that we are thinking about today. Think about all the things that we are dealing with today. Think about it. We're dealing with a virus. We're dealing with having to have a new way of working. We're dealing with having our children at home all day long and having them do schooling or education through a computer. We're dealing with changes in our life. We're dealing with restricted movements. We're dealing with the fact that we don't leave home without a mask and sanitizer close at hand. We are dealing with so much. But God is there to comfort us. God is there to give us joy. And in verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? And this is the author coming to himself and really saying that, that I know deep in my soul that the evildoers will not win in the end. I'm just having a moment. Don't we have those moments, my brothers and sisters? But now he's coming to himself. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? Now it's so interesting that when the Lord laid on my heart to share this series, it so much shares and it parallels with what's going on in the world today. Because it's talking about, shall your throne of wickedness, it's talking about wicked rulers, and it's talking about them whose legislation is evil. Think about that. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law. This is talking about the judges who twist the law to make the rich richer at the expense of the poor. Let's look at how Isaiah described the leaders during his time. Isaiah 1, verse 23 reads, your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Kind of sounds like current events, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like the leaders are rebellious? Doesn't it seem like they are companions of thieves? Doesn't it seem like birds of a feather kind of tend the flock together? Doesn't it seem like they do not defend those who are less fortunate? Doesn't it seem like they would rather defend monuments than to take care of people? Doesn't it seem strange that this parallels what's going on today? Again, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? That's a question, my brothers and sisters. And in verse 21, they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Check it out. Their legislation works against the righteous and it harms the innocent. Their healthcare reforms. Are there attempts to repeal healthcare reforms? Who will it hurt? It will hurt us. It will hurt those who don't have access to insurance. It will help those who have, it will destroy those who don't have access to insurance because of pre-existing condition. It will hurt those who are suffering through a pandemic. It will hurt us. Jeremiah 22, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hands of the oppressor. Do not wrong and do not violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. We can look throughout the scripture and it tells us that what is going on right now is clearly wrong. Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? If we use scripture to measure our leadership right now, where would they measure up? And here's another one, 1 John 3, 17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? There are not enough photo ops of leaders holding a Bible that will compensate for their actions, for their inconsideration for us, for their refusal to acknowledge what is going on and who is being hurt right now. But I like verse 22 of Psalm 94. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. Look at this. The author started off this chapter saying, how long will evil triumph? But now at the end, he's realizing who has his back. And it's the one who's always been there for him. And likewise, my brothers and sisters, it's the one who's always been there for us. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. Refuge, the rock, the rock. What does a rock do? A rock provides stability. It provides security. When we're looking for some place to hide, we can hide behind the rock. When we're looking for some place to stand on shaky ground, we can stand on the rock. That's what God is. He is our rock. He is our refuge. And when we think of refuge, you have to picture a high place of refuge. You know, when you look at those old forts and stuff, in Europe and other places, they usually built up on high ground because that means the enemy has to come up the hill and cross the walls to get to them, but they can easily defend themselves that way. But my refuge, you are my high place. You are my defense where I can run to for protection. To have refuge in the Lord is better than hiding in a fortress or behind a rock. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Here's another one, Proverbs 22, starting at the 22nd verse. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. The Lord will take care of us, as he has, always has, and he always will. Going back to Psalm 94, verse 23, our last verse. He has brought on them their own iniquities. He shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. When it's time, the Lord will take care of those who do evil upon us, those who ignore the cries of the needy. The Lord will bring them down, will cut them down. Those who look after their own interests instead of what's in the best interest of the people. The Lord will repay them for their sins and destroy them. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, woe unto them who have it backwards. Woe unto them who have a warped mindset. Woe unto them. They will get their just reward. Who's got my back? As we conclude this message, we know that the Lord has our back. The first seven verses of this chapter dealt with, please, Lord, judge the wicked. The next few verses, 8 through 11, dealt with somebody's watching you. This is the cry to those who ignore the Lord. And then last week, we dealt with turning your test into a testimony. And today, we conclude with who's got my back. And we know that our consolation only comes from the Lord. God bless you and thank you. And my prayer is that God always comforts us.